Hare Krishna, once again, I'm very happy to be here, really very happy. We came yesterday from Berlin, and we had a nice program before in the town of Berlin, in the morning time, and can you also feel or see there's so many positive signs of growth in Simhachalam. Each time I come here, there's no sun, you know, now we have the sun collectors. Are they called sun collectors, Govinda? Prabhu? Solar panels, good, solar panels. I did hear that Hare Krishna Maharaj, welcome. You are Mukunda Maharaj?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard about you. Wonderful. First time?
Yeah, first time.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. Hare Krishna. We should give a good seat for our Maharaj. Some cushion. Oh, if you're elderly, you can go on the chair. Take it, good. At least the cushion we should supply, no? That here, yes, please. So many positive signs of growth are here. But what I've really can see is perhaps the most encouraging for at least me is these committed devotees who are very focused on worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev, and at the same time who keep their doors wide open for all to obtain the mercy of Nrisimhadev. I heard that many of you are here already since Friday, and you're most welcome guests. It's very, very wonderful. It's very, let us say, encouraging. And I see new devotees I have not seen before. They have been attracted to this community and to Lord Nrisimhadev. Very nice. We will now, all of us, not now, since we have been doing this already since Friday. We are a community of worshippers. We are approaching the appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev, and as we are listening to the various presentations, lectures by many devotees, we will be able to understand more of Lord Nrisimhadev and his, let us say, our sambandha, our relationship, and how that might look in terms of how we can relate to Lord Nrisimhadev. This is very important that we have kirtans to purify our hearts, and we have Bhagavatam readings and other seminars. I don't know the exact plan. It's very important for us to purify our heart really and elevate our understanding, because it's so much easier to practice Krishna consciousness with a purified heart and an elevated understanding. It's so much easier to make the right decisions which are beneficial for our further progress. So I invite you to really use your time in this sacred place. It's definitely a sacred place to purify your heart and elevate your understanding. Good, we will have a Bhagavatam class, and I request all of you to use your mobile telephones, not to read the messages, but to read the Bhagavatam text. If you have it, it's good, and you can share your mobile telephones. Let me just see where we are. Yes, here. We will have a text from the seventh canto, chapter 9, text 1. No? 7, 9, 1. Good. But let us first start with Jayarada Madhava. Which tune? Gopi jana vallabha giri varada ji Gopi jana vallabha giri varada ji Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana Yamuna tira vanachari Yamuna tira vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Sunya Vihaji Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Chila Prabhupada Jaya Nrisimhadev Gaya Pralad Singha, Pralad Singha, Pralad Singha, Jaya Pralad Singha. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paravaraja Kacharya Ashtata Satasi Simatesti Vaingres Silabe Charanaravinda Silabhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Silabhupada Ki Jai Anant Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Silabhupada Ki Jai Nama Acharya Shira Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Samavita Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Haribo All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vaishnavas, Vaishnavas. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. No, the old man. Haribol. Haribol Shivatma Prabhu. We will be reading today from the 7th canto, chapter 9, text. 1. The text is on your mobile telephones, and if you don't have one, like me, you can look on the mobile telephone of your neighbor. 7, 9, 1. Please repeat. Shri Narada Uvacha Evam Suradaya Sarve Evam Suradaya Sarve Brahma Rudra Pura Saraha No paitum ashakan manyu. Samrambam surada sudurasadam. Sinarada uvacha. Evam suradaya sarve. Ramarutra pura saraha No paitam ashakam manyu Samrambam surur rasadam Sinarada uvacha Evam Suradaya Sarve Brahma Rudra Pura Sarva Saraha No Paitum Ashakan Manyu Sangrambam Sudura Sadam. Yes, as someone else, please. Sinarada Uvacha Evam Surada Sarve Amarudasna Sada Sudurasadam. Shri Narada Uvacha. Evam Suradaya Sarve. Brahma Rudra Purasara. Nopaitum Ashagam Manyu. Sanramam Sudarasadam. Thank you. One Mataji, one Vaishnavi, please. Shri Narada Uvacha. Evam Suradaya Sarve. Narada Uvacha. The great saintly sage Narada Muni said, Evam, thus, Suradaya, the groups of demigods, Sarve, all, Brahma Rudra Purasara, represented by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Not upayatum, to go before the Lord. Ashakam, able. Manyu samramban, in a completely angry mood. Sudurasadam, very difficult to approach. Lord Nrsingadev. Translation. So this is right after the appearance of Lord Nrsingadev from the stone pillar in the mighty emperor's palace, Hiranyakashipu. The Lord had made his very ferocious entry, and he had killed the king of the demons, and he was sitting now there, breathing very heavily, with ears upright, trembling. He was samramban, in a completely angry mood. Here is the text for you. The great saint Narada Muni continued, the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other great demigods, dared not to come forward before the Lord, who at that time was extremely angry. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung in his Prema Bhakti Chandrika, Krodha Bhakta Dvesha Jane. Anger should be used to punish a demon who is envious of devotees. Kama, Krodha, Loba, Moha, Mada, and Matsaya, lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy, all have their proper use for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotee. A devotee of the Lord cannot tolerate blasphemy of the Lord or His other devotees. And the Lord also cannot tolerate blasphemy of a devotee. Thus, Lord Nrsingadev was so very angry that the great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, and even the goddess of fortune, who is the Lord's constant companion, could not pacify him, even after offering prayers of glorification and praise. no one was able to pacify the Lord in his anger. And because the Lord was willing to exhibit his affection for Prahlad Maharaj, all the demigods and the others present before the Lord pushed Prahlad Maharaj forward to pacify him. And so we can just picture the scene in our mind. Lord Nrsimhadev has come and he has ripped to shreds the demon Hiranyakashipu. He was so angry that he did one that he put a garland around himself, by himself. Do you remember that garland? We don't need to speak about it loud, because maybe there are some pregnant ladies and they would faint if they hear this. But do you remember that garland? Yes, yes, yes. He put it around himself. I mean, I've never, ever seen a fight where the winner put such a garland around his neck. I mean, I've never seen people that angry. So this is divine anger. It is superlative anger. And the question was how to pacify the Lord's anger. Do you remember what, who was able to pacify him? Was it Brahma? But he's supremely intelligent. He knows psychology and how to pacify. Was it Shiva? No. Was it his own wife, Lakshmi? No. No. Who? Prahlad. Yes, Prahlad. Yes, you know everything. Yes, so he was pushed forward by the devatas who saw if the Lord maintains this anger, the whole universe will be burned to pieces. So he has to calm down. So they pushed Prahlad Maharaj forward to pacify him, because it was for the benefit of Prahlad that the Lord had made his appearance. My dear devotees, in this little scene, you see one secret of Lord Nrsimhadev's appearance, which also our Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Madhya Leela chapter 8, text 6. It shows you the two sides of Lord Nrsimhadev. He is simultaneously Ugra. Do you know what is Ugra? Ferociously angry, not just a little angry, extremely angry. And he is full of Anugraha. Do you know what is Anugraha? Anugraha is a certain type of mercy. There are seven types of mercy in the heart of God. And Anugraha is a mercy which extends from the transcendental plane and captures a candidate of that mercy. It totally captures him. Graha. Graha means to grab, like this, not grab. So that mercy of Lord Nrsimhadev is Anugraha mercy. It grabs someone. It overwhelms them. It envelops them, and it takes you and does something with you which is beyond your boldest expectations. So this is explained here, these two sides. Ugro, see? Ugro, pyanukra. evayam svabhaktanam nrikeshari keshariva svapotanam anyesham ukravikramaha. Translation is, although the lioness, means female lion, is very ferocious, and the lioness is also very kind to her cubs. Cubs is baby lions. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narsingadev is very, very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. This verse was composed by Sridhar Swami in his commentary on the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 7.9.1. And this is now the verse which we are reading, 7.9.1. The demigods headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other great demigods dared not to come forward before the Lord, who at that time was extremely angry. So Sridhar Swami, you know, if you want to, Mahaprabhu has said, if you want to understand the Bhagavatam, you must accept Sridhar Swami as your guru. He tells you, if you want to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, you must follow the commentary of Sridhar Swami. Now, Sridhar Swami had one Ishta Devata. Do you know the deity of his choice? Lord Narsingadev, yes. So he, as a devotee, wrote on this verse which describes the anger of the Lord. Although very ferocious, the lioness, female lion, is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narsingadev is very, very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. Yes, 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 yes. When you look at Lord Narsingadev's divine appearance, from you need to understand really the two purposes, because if you understand only the one purpose, to vinashaya chaduskritam, to finish the duskritam, the rascals, the atheistic rascals, you have an incomplete picture of Lord Narsingadev. In the old days in Germany, we had we divided the devotees in two groups. The Narsinga Bhaktas, they had very heavy boots usually, and the Govinda Bhaktas. We divided them. Can you imagine what I was? Govinda Bhakta, yes. I was a Govinda Bhakta. And then there were heavy, the Narsinga Bhakta. But our picture was incomplete, because Lord Narsingadev has both sides in him. He's not divided between these two extreme. You know, he is both, and it's very important for us to understand this, to develop bhakti and not just fear of Lord Narsingadev. Bhakti, there is a fearful bhakti also, but I mean the general understanding. Yes, so therefore I want to in explaining Lord Nrsimhadev, want to speak about this kind side first, and how he appeared for his devotee Prahlad Maharaj. And I thought to narrate to you something you might have heard before, but by Krishna's mercy I have now more details on how Prahlad Maharaj took birth. Because if you understand this, then you understand Lord Nrsimhadev. You can only understand the Lord through the eyes of the Bhakta. In poetry, there is a very important thing which also made it into Goethe and so on. There was a prince in the old times called Manyu, who fell madly in love with a ordinary girl called Layla. Brahmacharis, bear with me. It is something important to understand. Please listen. So he gave up all his aristocratic backgrounds. He gave everything up to be together with this lady. I believe she was from a shepherd family, you know, not the same class. And the ruler of the time, Harun al-Rashi, it's in where now Arabia is, he thought, well, if this prince gave up everything for Layla, she must have excellent qualities in beauty, in education, in manners, and so on. And he asked his minister to ask Layla to appear in court, just so that he could understand this whole affair. And when Layla was presented before him, she was, of course, a little shy, because he was a mighty ruler, Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid was disappointed. But she looks very ordinary, like any lady you meet on the street, a simple lady. And he asked Manju, the prince, can you tell me what you find in Layla? And Manju, the poetry, said, to understand the qualities of Layla, you need to look through the eyes of Manyu. Otherwise, you cannot understand. Now, taking this principle, that it takes someone to see someone on the spiritual level, we have to understand. To understand God or Lord Nrsimhadev, you have to look through the eyes of Prahlad, his foremost bhakta. Then you will understand something. If you don't look in that way, you will not be able to understand much. You might even remain in an incomplete understanding, like we were in the early days in Germany. I'm very happy that it was corrected, because Lord Nrsimhadev personally appeared here to correct this understanding. I don't think this was the prime reason of his understanding, but amongst many other things, he did. Prabhupada told us in Germany we should worship him personally, because we had a lot of difficulties from people who wanted to stop the spread of the Krishna conscious movement. Very powerful people, very powerful. So he said, you must worship Lord Nrsimhadev. Prabhupada said this, and we did this. But amongst many benefits, our understanding has changed. So let us hear about Prahlad Maharaj's appearance. Prahlad Maharaj appeared in the family of who? demoniac family, yes. Hiranyakashipu, wow, the wisdom of a saint. Yes. So Hiranyakashipu had a traumatic relationship to God. Not that he only, he did not just ignore the Lord, he hated him, and he hated him with the mood of taking revenge. Do you know from where this hatred towards God came? Yeah, his brother. What happened to his brother? He was killed by whom? Lord Varaha. Yes, with his chakra. Some say with his also with a. You know, this punch of a hoof, yes. So, since that time, well, maybe before, but this is known as the reason. Hiranyakashipu had a great hatred towards the Lord because his brother, Hiranyaksha, was killed by the Lord. And he was very, very angry at the Lord. He wanted to challenge the Lord, and he went all over the universe fighting with powerful devatas and winning the fight. You know, he was very, very, very ferocious, and he hoped that one day he would find Lord Vishnu, who killed his brother. But he said, Vishnu has hidden out of fear from me. He is not coming. He's not answering my challenge. He's hiding away from me. So he had gone, Hiranyakashipu, to the forest to become immortal, where he finally was able to invoke Brahma, who appeared before him, and he asked Lord Brahma to give him blessings of immortality. But Brahma gave him conditioned blessings. He said, immortality I cannot give you, but may you, yes, Charu, I see you know something about this episode. But please, now is listening time. Later is answering time. So Hiranyakashipu said, well, if you can't give me immortality, then, you know, grant that I will not be killed during the day nor during the night, not outside, not inside, not on the earth, not in the sky, and many, 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 many such blessings to really get through the back door, his main blessing, to be immortal and not that no one could kill him. So then, after this, he became very, very, very encouraged, and he attacked and subdued the entire universe. He was so much meningitis, means a headache in the universe, that the powerful rulers, devatas, were hiding, and also saints were hiding and or complying with his orders. There was only one saint whom he could not subdue, he couldn't get him, Narada Muni, no? Narada Muni. So Narada Muni one day said, we must do something about this. And he went to one of his gurus, Brihaspati, I think something like a Shiksha guru, and told him about Hiranyakashipu and how he was ruling the universe in a demoniac way. And Brihaspati gave a very interesting prophecy about the fate of Hiranyakashipu. And please listen to it, because it will be a major point of this lecture. He said, every benefit that has been acquired by a person due to austerity can be exhausted when such a person attacks saintly people. Do you understand? Everything good which has come by effort, by austerities, and so on, is leaving you the moment one becomes angry with saintly people. This is, of course, an understanding we get from the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam, there is this scene where the ministers of King Kamsa come together and plan what they should do about this prophecy that one day the eighth son of Devaki will, what will he do? Kill the king. Ooh, that's a big thing, you know, kill the king. The eighth child would do this. So they were overtaken by Rajas and Tamas, these ministers, and they began to persecute saintly persons, not knowing what was good or bad for them. They thought, let us eradicate all religion, all dharma, anything out, and then there will be no danger for our king. The word in Sanskrit, the Bhagavatam says, arad agata mrityavaha. It means soon all of them would be overtaken by death. And then the next verse, Shukadev Goswami addresses King Parikshit. He says, Ayushiyam yashodharamam lokan ashisha evacha hanti shreyangsi sarvani pungso mahat atikramaha. I think this verse is also very important for people in a spiritual movement. My dear king, when a man persecutes great souls, all his benedictions of longevity, this means long life, beauty and fame, religion and blessing, and also promotion to have higher planets will be destroyed. At the moment where someone does not know what is good for me and what is bad for me, and starts to verbally or physically attack great souls, his long life is in danger, his beauty, his fame, meets Instagram, everything will drop down, religion, blessings and promotion to the higher planets, everything is gone. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has warned the assembly of Gaudiya Vaishnavas by saying, if you offend devotees and at the same time chant or take bath in the Ganga to be purified, your chanting and your bathing will turn against you. It won't have any use any longer. In spiritual life, we must be very, very, very careful that our critical natures, which are there, we are Western people, we think about everything and try to understand everything with our rational mind, that we have to be careful here on this one point. It doesn't mean, you know, we should be, the English word is gullible. Gullible means you are overwhelmed and a little too much influenced, and you lose your discrimination. But you should be kind towards devotees. Do you know why? Because the Lord loves them. Yes, the devotee. I understand. I'm also a member of your movement. I have seen people who go on my nerves. Hare Krishna, like never before. You know, I have seen. but that's one thing. I want to give you an example. Do you know a mango? Of course, you know. Mangoes have a peel and the fruit, and the peel is sometimes there's black, and if you would bite on the peel, there is a paper etiquette, you know, Alfonso mango from Brazil, or I don't know where it comes from. Yes, that is there. It looks discouraging, it looks shrinkled maybe, but there's a fruit inside. So when you look at a devotee, do you want to see the peel? The outside, which is maybe a little shrinkled and disfigured and so on, in your eyes? Or do you want to see the fruit? You have to make that decision. Devotees are worshipping the same Lord which you worship. Devotees have found the same goal in life which you have found. They are family. And they, of course, are human beings also. And behind every devotee, there's a human story, you know, what he has experienced and how he is conditioned and so on. Anyways, so Brihaspati gave Narad Muni an idea. He said, when Hiranyakashipu should persecute a saintly being, then his long life and fame will be destroyed. So at that time, Hiranyakashipu had no son and no daughter. He was childless. So Narada Muni thought, I have to somehow get him into the mood to make a child. And then he will go against the child, this demon, his own child, and then the Lord will not tolerate it, and he will be taken care of. It's very intelligent, you know, Narad Muni. Yes. Mm. So, Brihaspati continued, go to sing. I explained it a little wrong. I will correct it now. Go to Sirasara and meditate about Vishnu. Don't worry, Narada Muni. Very soon, a devotee child will appear and bring about the downfall of Hiranyakashipu. Because, of course, he will go against his child because he's a devotee. Narada Muni thought, well, how will a devotee appear in Hiranyakashipu's child? You know, when you are, let us say, a gangster, your child will usually be a gangster. You know, so when you're a demon, your child will be another demon. So, how will this happen? Narada Muni thought and thought, and then he got a plan. And listen to Narada Muni's plan. How to give Hiranyakashipu a devotee child. Do you understand the logic here? He's a demon. He needs to offend his saint. And best if it's so close, if it's a family member, if he's a little child, and then, boom, everything will be taken away from him. So, in the meantime, Hiranyakashipu thought, I'm not actually immortal. I have gotten some boons, but I feel dissatisfied because Brahma said to me, you will not be killed at this time or that time under this circumstance. But he had not said to me, you will be immortal. So I need to get Brahma a second time and to force him to give me that boon. So he, Hiranyakashipu, felt dissatisfied and gave and went to Mountain Kailash, and he wanted to ask there again. As he left his palace, many inauspicious omens appeared. There were earthquakes. There were fires springing up. And people advised him, don't go out now and make your austerities. You will be failing. It will not work. Look at the omen. Everyone can see. This is a bad thing. But Hiranyakashipu said, I don't care. I'm stronger than all of this. You are weak. I'm strong. So he started his austerities a second time. He chanted, don't chant it after me. Om Brahmane Namaha, and la 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 la, many like this. Brahma became disturbed. Again he calls me. I have given what I can give. Again he comes. At that time Narada Muni came to Brahma and said, Father, those who have Govinda in their hearts have nothing to fear. Don't be afraid. I will tackle him. So Narada knows how to make tricks that bring about a demon's downfall. The way they did it is, I think you know, Narada Muni and Parvat Muni went to Mountain Kailash. They took the form of little sparrows and they were next to Hiranyakashipu on a tree. Hiranyakashipu was standing. Oh, don't want them. Like this on one leg, and there are good paintings about this. And was chanting Om Brahmane Namaha, don't Om Brahmane Namaha. And Narada Muni and Parvat Muni, as little birds, were on this tree, and whenever he said Om Brahmane Namaha, now you can say it, they chanted Om Narayanaya. Yeah, you sound half dead, please. Actually, I told you the wrong mantra. Now I will tell you the right one, but you have to chant it loud. Om Namo Narayanaya.
Om Namo Narayanaya.
Continue.
Om Namo Narayanaya.
Om Brahmane Namaha. Om Brahmane Namaha. Om Brahmane Namaha.
Stop!
They didn't stop, yes. I was trying to play Hiranyakashipu. He was really agitated. Do you know this when you want to chant your mantra and then they play on the an interesting song of... I don't know what you listen to nowadays, you know, and you can't concentrate. Especially, let us give a realistic example, because I know you only hear devotional music, but in Vrindavan, you know, I was once chanting I was trying to chant my rounds, you know, and then from the loudspeakers I hear constantly, Sanyasi, come home. Krishna, Sanyasi, you know, these Indian ladies who have eaten too much sweets, you know. I had images of me getting two pistols and shooting that loudspeakers. I became so disturbed by the music, you know. any type of music, you know, which they do in India is extreme, you know, everything is extreme, also loud, you know. So Hiranyakashipu became very angry. He couldn't continue his austerities because there were always these birds, Om Namo Narayanaya, and so he went home. His wife Kayadhu greeted her husband. Oh, you are back. Are you a little early back? He was so frustrated. Why are you back so early? It is not your business to ask this. Then Kayadhu said, oh my husband, since long I want to have a child, and I am in my womanly situation where I can receive a child. I'm the most favorable position to conceive a child. I would like to have a child from you. Hiranyakashipu said, anything but. So he went, and as he was lying next to her, Kayadhu again asked, there should be no secrets in marriage life. Please tell me, why are you back so early? We all expected you to do austerities. And Hiranyakashipu was now in a mood to talk. He was in an intimate situation. And he said, you know, I tried to chant to get Brahma to come and give me the boon of immortality. He had already come once, but he hadn't given it to me. But then there were these birds, and they were chanting, Om Namo Narayanaya. And as he was chanting, at that moment his powerful seed came into Kayadhu, and she became pregnant with a devotee child. Because it is during conception, the consciousness of the parents which decide what type of child was attracted. So perhaps the only time in his life where he chanted any mantra was when he was explaining to his wife, Om Namo Narayanaya, that's why I couldn't hear my own mantra. That's why I left, you know, it was fruitless. And anyways, it had been told that there were bad omens when I started this. So a very, very wonderful child, Prahlad, came into this world at that time. Prahlad Maharaj, and I will now come slowly to the last portion of this lecture, is very important for devotees, because he represents one particular anga of devotional service. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you will find that the ninefold processes of devotional service have always examples which, when you do these devotional services, you should see this is the ideal. Who is representing Shravanam? Parikshit. Why is that ideal? He listened as if his life was dependent. He only had how many days to live? 7, yes. Do you know how you listen to a Bhagavatam class when you know that you have 7 days to live? I can guarantee you, you won't be asleep at that time. You will see, is there something for me? I need to direct my consciousness at the moment of death, not to fear. I need to follow the examples of great souls. Who is the example of Kirtanam? Sukadev. Yeah, he spoke for 7 days Non-stop. He didn't think, this is my kirtan spot. Half an hour, you know. He was chanting to praise the Lord and so on. And then comes the next process. What is that? Smaranam. That is remembering Krishna. And who is the example of that? Prahlad Maharaj. Why? Because even under the most difficult circumstances, when his own father attacked him with weapons. Wow, have you ever been attacked by your father with a weapon? Have you ever been thrown in a, you know, what is it, in a hole with deadly snakes? No, have you ever been in a situation that elephants, which had been made furious, more furious than the poor bulls which are sent into the arena in Spain for these fights, you know, these elephants were attacking Prahlad to trample him to death. In all these situations, he was there chanting the name of the Lord, and actually he was closing his eyes. He sometimes chanted also, but most of the time he just remembered Krishna, because after all he was in a surrounded by demons. If he would always chant loud, you know, he would chant loud when he was in the in the school with all the school children. Then he would get on the table and Hare Krishna, and so on. He was known as Smaranam. My dear devotees, there will be physical and mental torture in our lives. There will be something which Keshava Maharaj calls life quakes. Do you know what is an earthquake?
Yes.
When there is an earthquake, your life changes. Your house falls on the ground. You really have to start from zero. So in spiritual life, in life also, there are these life quakes where things are getting very tough. Like for Arjuna, one of his life quakes was when? Before the battle of Kurukshetra, exactly. He was having to fight against his own family. Oof. A decent person, I mean, Kali Yuga, that is, you do this every day, but this was with weapons, and it was in the old times, you know. But he remembered Krishna. He turned to Krishna. My dear devotees, how is it with you when you have a life quake? Where do you go? I'm just in the situation where all the devotees run to the GBC. Yes, there is some problem and so on. I'm telling him, it's good, but run to Krishna first. Look at Prahlad. You can see how far you are in your faith of Krishna. That by where do you run when the life quake happens? Do you know what is a life quake? Some of you know. It will come. Don't worry. My godbrother, one godbrother has said, we will only get out of this world crawling on our bellies. We will be humble. I have to be humble. I want to read to you something which our Bhakti Charu Maharaj said only 3 months before his death. And what he recommends. Do you know Bhakti Charu Maharaj?
Yes.
Do you know the circumstances how he left his body? Some of you know. Alone in a hospital, no one could see him. So he says, today I was reflecting on what do we usually pray. we expect that we can leave our bodies surrounded by devotees, yes. But in a situation like this, he was addressing the COVID time, it was during the COVID time. In the situation like this, we may not have a devotee association. We may be in a hospital. No devotee will be allowed to come near us because of the contagious nature of this disease. We won't be able to hear about Krishna. We won't be able to think about Krishna. We won't be able to remember Krishna. This means others will not be there to remind us of Krishna. So we have to depend upon Krishna ourselves. We have to pray to Krishna with all our hearts that Krishna, please, please don't allow me to forget you. Please let me remember you at the most difficult time when I'm going to leave my body. Now the situation is such that I have become bereft of the association of your devotees. You have mentioned that the association of devotees is the spiritual sky. Association of devotees is your internal potency, but now I have become unable to have that association. So please let me remember you on my own. And I depend upon you. Please don't allow me to forget you. Please, this is my only prayer. Our Prahlad Maharaj is known as the example of Smaranam or remembering Krishna because of the most difficult situation. And here we see our esteemed Bhakti Charu Maharaj praying in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj that I might die in a situation where there are no devotees which help me to remind me of Krishna. You know, usually devotees come and they chant the holy names, and that is extremely wanted and helpful and necessary. This is how Srila Prabhupada left his body. He had devotees coming and chanting kirtan non-stop. No? So, Prahlad, let us see Nrisimhadev through the eyes of Prahlad. Let us start remembering Lord Nrisimhadev. I will now end with a few verses. There is a verse from a book called Subhashita Ratna Bandaram. It's a compilation of verses. And in one verse, you will find the final moments of Hiranyakashipu. Would you like to know them? Yes. Charu, you are there with us? You're ready to listen? Yeah, maybe stop drawing for a moment. I know the piece of art is coming, I know. But so Hiranyakashipu, I will speak like Hiranyakashipu. What is it? What is it? The servant says, "Oh Lord, it's a lion outside on the door." "So what?" The servant, "Oh Lord, he has a human body. I have never seen such a strange creature." Hiranyakashipu, "If that is the case, bring him here before me." The servant, "Oh Lord, he's already coming." Hiranyakashipu, "Bring me my chapa." You need to understand the translation. Chapa means bow. Bow is a weapon where you can kill from the distance, in case you don't know. So he doesn't want to let him come close. You Bring me my chapa. Bring my last words. Last words, you know. May that Nrsimha, who thus tore the chest of Hiranyakashipu with his sharp nails, protect you all. Now, just at that moment, before the nails did their work, there is something else you need to know. Hiranyakashipu could see, I'm losing this. So fearing the destruction of his body, he quickly entered under the nails of Nrsimhadev. Therefore, we cut usually our nails, let there be nothing, you know, under. So in astonishment, Lord Nrsimhadev thought, where is he? Where is he? He was looking everywhere. And not finding him, the Lord explained, oh, it was all in vain. And then he clapped his hands together. At this moment, the demon fell down from under the nails, you know, when you do like this, and on the ground like a speck of dirt. When Lord Nrsimhadev saw Hiranyakashipu like this, he laughed loudly. All glories to Lord Nrsimhadev. So let us end by chanting the Nrsimha Maha Mantra. It is from the Nrsimha Tapani Upanishad. There is many commentaries. Also the Adi Shankara has commented. They all are worshippers of Lord Nrsimhadev. Louder.
Ugraviram Mahavishnum Jalantam Sarvatomukam Nrsimham Vijanam Vadram Ugram Viram Mahavishnum Jalantam Sarvatomukam Nrsimham Vijanam Vadram Mrityom Mrityom Namamyam.
One more time, but you are not chanting, not all of you are knowing this mantra, no? Okay, so those who know.
Ugram Viram Mahavishnum Jalantam Sarvatomukam Nrsimham Vishanam Badram Mrityom Mrityom Namamyam. Om Ugram Viram Mahavishnum Jalantam Sarvatomukam Nrsimham Vishanam Badram Mrityom Mrityom Namamyam. Om Ugram Viram Mahavishnum Jalantam Sarvatomukam Nrsimham Vishanam Badram Mrityom Mrityom Namamyam. Om.
It is said in previous times, before this universe, this was the Maha Mantra. Lord Nrsimhadev was the deity whom one took shelter of, and we take shelter of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But we asked Lord Nrsimhadev to help us in our journey to Radha and Krishna. Especially we asked him to kill our enemies. Do you know what your real enemies are? Once Prabhupada was asked by a devotee, by the devotees, it was in Paris on a morning walk, Prabhupada, what is the worstest enemy of the devotee? And Srila Prabhupada answered, he himself is his worstest enemy. We are boycotting ourselves. Stop being a nonsense, Prabhupada said. Prabhupada preaching. More specifically, these enemies are karma, lust, krodha, anger. Karma, krodha, please help me. Loba, greed. Moha, illusion. Mada, madness. And matsaya, envious, envy in our heart. Yeah, good. So I thank you all very much for being so long here and listening. We thought we should have a think. Do you remember something from the lecture? I would like to do something unconventional because we heard about Prahlad being what? The example of what? Smaranam. So why don't we turn to our neighbor now and share with our neighbor what we remember from the lecture? No? We are not a theoretical movement, no? It will be very brief, and please, even if you only have an impression, it was about Nrisimhadev. I like Nrisimhadev. Good, good, good. But try to remember more, no? Do this now.